Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, The Outfit, You Are Not My Mother, and Master. Now, for certain, you are not my mother.
Well, I have never claimed to be, for that matter. And I don't intend to start now.
Okay, but, then. Yep, be fair.
This is a movie in which that sentence proves all too relevant. But let us begin with something else. Let us begin today with The Outfit, which is the first film directed by Graham Moore, who also co-wrote it. And it's an American film, it takes place in Chicago, even though the star is the great English actor Mark Rylance. He really, it's very much his movie. The others are fine too, but it's very much his movie. The Outfit is a crime movie, and it takes place, I'll say at the outset, almost entirely in one room. So it's very much like a play. And the screenplay has to come up with reasons for people to go away so that other people can talk, and then that person comes back, and then somebody else goes away. So it's very much like a stage play. But it still manages to be pretty darn cinematic, and I really had a good time watching it. And mainly it just has an interesting story, mildly interesting characters, one very interesting character, the Mark Rylance character, and quite a lot of twists and turns and surprises, which is what I think we expect from a crime movie, a suspense movie, which is what this is, although in a fairly mild way. So Mark Rylance, by the way, one of the finest actors anywhere. Everything he does just turns to gold. He plays, yes, as you can maybe guess from the title of the film, he plays a tailor. And he has a little shop, and it's in Chicago, and he sits in his shop. And actually, I just said something that he, if he were here, would object to vociferously, because he objects to it in the movie. When he's called a tailor, he says, "No, I am not a tailor. I am a cutter." Tailors are just the people who put the things together. A cutter is the person who actually cuts the cloth and makes the patterns. So that is what he is. He is a cutter. And we discover pretty early in the movie, well, all these pretty shady looking people keep coming by the shop and keep coming into the little back room where he works and keep slipping envelopes into a little box that he has in there. And it doesn't take too long before he realizes that these are criminals and they are doing something criminal. All these little envelopes are messages or something or other. And he is clearly in cahoots somehow with these people because it's in his shop that this is happening. Well, then we get to meet some of these criminals who are coming in, and a couple of them turn out to be very important. There are two men who seem to be sort of partners, and one of them is the son of the head of the operation, and the other one is his much more responsible partner. And they are coming by the shop, and they get into various kinds of arguments with each other, and the tailor in the meanwhile just tries to keep out of everything. He is just so dignified and so aloof and so above it all. He is a real English stereotype, but with Mark Rylance, he's not a stereotype. He turns into a real person who we are watching. So that is what goes on in the movie. These criminals keep coming by, and a couple of them, including the son of the head of the outfit and his much more responsible partner, get into various kinds of difficulty, and they go away and they come back again and things happen, and one of them goes away and comes back really, really wounded, and then the cutter, being a cutter, has to sew him up with his needle and thread. So stuff like that happens in the movie. And then very late in the movie, we finally meet the head of the whole operation, and he turns out to be a really interesting character, an old guy, very different in the type of person he is from the others, except that he is a criminal. And all the while, through most of the movie, we are wondering just what is the cutter's part in all of this? Is he only does he just have the room where they do some of their operations, or is he really a full-fledged part of the criminal operation? And eventually, all of this, of course, becomes clear. The movie, again, as I said earlier, has various twists and turns and a few real surprises along the way. It's very quiet. There are some outbursts of violence in it, of course. You know, somebody gets wounded, somebody gets sewn up, various deaths happen. At one point, a corpse is stored away for quite quite a long while, and there turns out to be a big surprise with that, just sort of stored away in a trunk, rather like in an old Hitchcock movie. But along the way, it's just a very involving movie. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to follow its little twists and turns. Oh, I should mention also, there is also one female character played by Zoe Deutsch. She is the receptionist. That's all she is. But then again, is she also more enmeshed in all this stuff than we might suspect at first? So it's a quiet movie again, except for a few outbursts of violence here and there. It all takes place pretty much all in one room. Occasionally there's a shot of the outside of the shop, but it takes place in one room. But, you know, more than anything else, we have Mark Rylance. What a wonderful actor. So I would say anybody who wants to see Mark Rylance at his very best should go see The Outfit. And by the way, his other most recent film, Don't Look Up, where he plays a totally different character, could not be a more different kind of a character in a more different kind of a movie. And he is so sensational in that film as well. So again, The Outfit is really a movie to see if you like crime movies, if you like intimate little movies with only a handful of characters, and above all, if you like Mark Rylance, go and see it. It's not a great movie. It's not a major movie. It's not a movie that makes thunderous noise at you. But I just found it very involving and interesting. And I'm just glad that movies like this still get made. In the middle of all the comic book movies and all the superhero movies and all the gigantic blockbuster stuff, people are still making quiet little movies with a handful of characters, a good dialogue-driven screenplay that can all take place in one room. And it's just nice to know that's still going on. And it's also really nice to know that in this case, it's done really well. So I recommend The Outfit. Now we are going to turn to a couple of movies which are in different ways horror movies. And the first one I want to talk about briefly is You Are Not My Mother. Mothers seem to be in the air these days. Pedro Almodovar's movie Parallel Mothers came out recently. But You Are Not My Mother is very different from that. And it's a good movie, and it's a horror movie, and it's an Irish movie. So here we have a movie that takes place in basically a housing project in Dublin. And it is about an adolescent whose name is Shar. And what happens at the very beginning of the movie is a mysterious thing. We see a baby all alone in a baby stroller in the middle of nothing with nobody around. It's nighttime. It looks very scary and menacing. And then a figure comes along, a female figure, and takes the stroller and wheels it away and wheels it into some woods and then starts to do something mysterious that looks almost like witchcraft. And that's just the beginning of the movie. That's just the prologue. So then we get into the movie itself, where we meet Shar, who is the young woman. And what happens now is that her mother, who is not very old herself, it's a young family. Shar is an adolescent, and her mother goes missing and then returns very mysteriously. Where was she? What happened when she was missing? Well, one thing that definitely appears to be happening is that Shar's mother appears to have some sort of pretty severe mental illness. And when she comes back from her little period of being missing, she goes on medication and she appears to be getting a bit better. But clearly there is something wrong going on here. So that is one thread that runs through the movie, is what happened when Shar's mother went missing? What is her mental condition? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? Is it a chronic thing? But then something else is going on, which is that Shar herself is being bullied. There are some very, very mean girls in her school, and they live nearby, and they corner her, and they bully her, and they sometimes do pretty awful things to her. And one of these young girls, also adolescents, who are bullying Shar, appears to be really kind of a psychopath. So that she really threatens to do some very dangerous things. It's not just ordinary bullying, if there is such a thing as ordinary bullying. So that's another thread that is running through the movie. And then we also have Shar's grandmother, who lives in the house with her and her mother and father. And the grandmother appears to be involved in some sort of supernatural thing. She seems to believe in supernatural forces. She seems to believe that there are things that we are not fully in contact with in this world, but or maybe in the next world, but that affects us all the time. And this has to do with her history and with the history of the family. And through all of this, Shar is trying to figure out what's going on. We're trying to figure out what's going on. And we eventually more or less are able to figure out what's going on. It involves all these things. It involves the bullying. It involves the supernatural that the grandmother is so fascinated with. It involves the mother's mental illness. Or is that something perhaps supernatural as well? And again, all these things weave and interweave and intersect effect over the course of the movie. But you know what? Even more than story, and very, very good acting, by the way, this movie is about atmosphere. And that's my favorite kind of horror movie. Movies that are really about atmosphere. There is some violence in the movie. The bullying involves some violence. The supernatural aspects involve some violence. Yeah, you know, some nasty stuff goes on in the movie. But that's not what the movie is about. The movie is really about this brooding, darkling atmosphere of menace and ominous stuff lurking just around the corner. And some of it's really, really real, like the bullies who torment Char in all kinds of terrible ways. And some of it might be real, like the supernatural elements of the story. And some of it is real and unreal at the same time, like some of the things that appear to be going through the mother's mentally deranged mind, or somewhat mentally deranged. She's not really insane, it appears, but she has definite psychological difficulties, very real ones. So all of these things, again, intertwine throughout the course of the movie. You watch it, you get soaked up in its atmosphere. It's only about an hour and a half long, which is just the right length for it. And again, it's just a really good movie. And it also shows, like The Outfit, that people are still making, in this case in Ireland, nice, quiet movies that deal with menacing subjects but don't hit you over the head with stuff. And it is always such a pleasure to run across a movie like that. And again, the acting in this film is really, really good. So if you want, this is going to sound like a contradiction in terms, a somewhat gentle horror movie, You Are Not My Mother is the one. But it's not always gentle, and it ends with a big scene involving a bonfire, which is pretty harrowing. But it's a good movie, and again, it does not hit you over the head. It lets you discover it as it proceeds, and it's just a very good movie. And our final film today, which is called Master, and oh, that title signals so much that this movie is interested in. This is a part of a genre of movies that intersect the truly horrific experiences of so many Black people in America, so many Black people, so many African American people, with elements of the supernatural. In other words, it suggests that the experiences that many Black people in America in the past and still in the present have to undergo and live with and somehow cope with are actually horrific. And these movies then expand that. So we get a full-fledged horror movie, which has elements of real old-fashioned type horror movies in them, but which also deal with the very real horrors of, well, let's say experiences of all minorities, although I'm thinking here of the ones that deal with Black people. Master is very much in the same sort of overall genre that the recent Candyman remake was in, that Jordan Peele's movie Get Out was in. So it sort of falls together with those movies, although it's very different in a lot of ways. The title, Master, refers to the master of a house or dormitory at a college. And in this case, it's a college somewhere in New England called Ancaster. And it has been around almost as long as the United States has been a country, we are told. And it appears to be very near to where some of the old witch trials took place a few centuries ago, another kind of horror where people were singled out, particularly women, and treated in horrific ways because they were not understood. So that's what we have here. And we have three women who are at this college, and they're very different kinds of women at Ancaster College. And they are all African-American, although there turns out to be a bit of a surprise about one of them. And they each are having different experiences. Now, one is a student who arrives at the very beginning of the movie to start college in her freshman year. And right from the start, things get ominous. She's told she has that room. And that room turns out to be a place where another student, female student, committed suicide some years earlier. And it may somehow be tied up with this business with the old witch trials, the memory of which still seems to hang heavy over the college. Another is the master of this house. And again, that word master is used a lot. And it's a term that was used, at least until very recently, at many, many colleges, a very patriarchal word for sure. But in this case, we have the first woman who has been the master of this particular house in the college. And she is an African-American woman, and she is very pleased to have been worked her way up in the college, and she's doing very well. But again, this house within the college has a sinister history, and now she has to cope with various things that are going on there involving the very real conflicts of the students, and also, again, this sinister history that somehow seems to hang over the house. And the third woman, who we meet a little bit later on in the story, is very, very different. She is a professor, and she may or may not be treating that freshman who I mentioned in very unfair ways. The freshman certainly seems to think that she is being treated unfairly. She seems to feel that this older professor has somehow singled her out for torment and for unfair academic treatment, and that becomes another thread that runs through the movie. The whole film is about being African-American, being Black, and being woman in today's America, but it also brings in through the witchcraft stuff, especially the history of racism and of oppression in America, and it all ties together with some very supernatural stuff that goes on in the movie and some very real horrific stuff like a noose being found, and we all know what that means in this day and age when these horrors are very real on so many college campuses and elsewhere in racially tormented America. Master is a very, very well-made movie. It's overstuffed. It has too many themes, too many different things are crammed into it, but it's very effective, fascinating to think about, and really, really, I had a good time watching it. And another small movie that really deals with very major themes, and I am so glad that there is so much going on in world cinema today. And so that is my somewhat small movie story this week, Jill.
Might be small movies, but large comments. Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films, The Outfits, You Are Not My Mother, and Master.